My burden tonight can be summarized in this word: I think you know what it is. I would say that's the way to be a serving one in the church life. For the long run, for longevity of service, you must learn how to breathe. And we'll see in a little bit, breathing physically is a picture of our breathing spiritually. And breathing physically has two parts. And we have to pay attention to these two parts. Of course, humanly, physically, you don't have to think about your breathing. If you have to think about your breathing, something is probably wrong. But our breathing is actually an exhaling combined with inhaling. And I would say that probably spiritually, exhaling is first. We need to learn how to breathe out many things. I think even as a sinner coming to God for the first time, you have to breathe out your sin. And you breathe in the Savior. But then along our Christian journey, especially as we have the heart to serve Him, we have to learn how to breathe out. I think this is true as parents. Many things are within us for our children. But tonight, I think I would speak to you not just as parents, but as just saints in the church life, particularly serving saints who have a heart for the Lord and His church. How to go on as we face so many challenges. We all have challenges. We all have challenges. Personally, sometimes even with our own health, with our family, with our children, with our extended family. Some may be in a situation that I'm in where we're taking care of our children. Of course, my children are out of the house and so on, but we're always taking care of our children. But now, more responsibility, taking care of my father. And then some of us are in this kind of a sandwich situation, taking care of the elderly with all that that entails. And that's just family. Then with your job, the pressures of the job, and so on, and responsibilities. Then, on top of all that, we put the church life, and we ask you to serve, and do this, and do that. And then there's another thing. Oh, I tell you, if you don't know how to breathe, you can't serve properly. And I would say, if you don't know how to breathe, eventually, you won't be that happy. To serve in the church life, especially if you're going to serve children, if you're going to serve young people, if you're going to serve college students, if you're going to serve young adults or young working saints. Actually, if you're going to serve anybody, you need to be happy and inspiring. Oh, if you serve with a long face, no one wants to be like you. We should serve with a round face. Be happy in the Lord. So, this lesson, this lesson, which I see here is entitled Message 3. I don't think I put that there. Message 3. I would rather say lesson than message. How to enjoy God in prayer. These points that are here are drawn from another green book, not the one that we've been referencing up till now. Up till now, we've been talking about the book, Raising Up the Next Generation in the Church Life. Not that book. The other lessons, 1 and 2, are from that book. This lesson is from another book entitled How to Enjoy God and How to Practice the Enjoyment of God. One of our longer titles. How to Enjoy God and how to practice the enjoyment of God. And that book is actually a series of messages given in 1958 on the topic of the Tree of Life. And it was in that conference that Brother Lee released the truth of eating the Lord. Of course, today, in the Lord's recovery, this is common. Of course, I remember when I first came to my first meeting, and I had the background in Christianity of the Brethren. I was in the Brethren denomination. And when I came to my first meeting, the first meeting in which I heard talk like this, we need to eat the Lord. I was, say what? We need to what? Oh, that was foreign language to me. Eat the Lord? What does that mean? Eat the Lord. It somewhat sounded sacrilegious, I thought. That doesn't sound right. Sounds, eat the Lord. Then, very soon, the brothers pointed me to John 6. And I said, oh, I actually read that before. And I didn't see it that way. The Lord said, he who eats me. I said, oh, okay. And then the songs, even about the Lord's table, right? About eating the bread, eating the wine. We're actually eating and drinking him. I said, oh, okay, I got it. Today, this is very common. But in 1958, this was new terminology to everyone in the Lord's recovery. And even I know, I heard stories that even there, some saints got bothered and wouldn't accept this. Oh, too crude. But that's not what I want to talk to you about. In that book, if you look at two chapters, chapters 5 and chapter 12, those two chapters talk about the practice of enjoying God. The other chapters are on the matter of eating the Lord and so on. And so, although I do recommend the book, what I'm specifically recommending tonight is chapter 5. And this outline is drawn from the points in chapter 5. I have this burden, saints, for all the saints who are serving among us, who have the heart to serve among us, that I know everyone agrees that we should spend personal time with the Lord. Everyone agrees with this. I did not learn this in the church life. I learned this long before, actually. I learned this there when I was with the brothers in the denomination. And we used to practice this. And I was shepherded as a very young Christian in my early teenage years into the practice of personal time with the Lord. And, of course, among us, we use these terms. Mostly, we use the term morning revival. But some of us, we also still use the term morning watch. And forgive me for liking to use that phrase, morning watch. And in the denomination, we would call it devotionals. Devotionals. Or quiet time. Quiet time. Or personal time. Of course, my point is, I really don't care what you call it. I care that you practice it. But not only so, I care how you practice. And I care for the quality of your time with the Lord. The quality. Because I know many saints agree and many saints practice. But I wonder, what are you doing there? What transpires there in that personal time with the Lord? Many saints, it's very good, have the habit. And we need to build up the habit. And habit is good. Habit helps us. But I would like to improve, whether your habit is 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, whatever is your time with the Lord, I would like to see the quality of that time to improve. But I found this. I've been studying this matter. I've been studying this matter since around 1987. My own experience and the experience of many others. And I found this. Not just young people, but all saints of all ages, all backgrounds, and from every corner of the world. Kind of a study. And I found this to be true. That the biggest obstacle in our personal time, that is, if you are overcoming enough to have such a time. Now you have such a time. Now you got up 10 minutes earlier or 30 minutes earlier. Now you're there with either your Bible, maybe a hymn book, or maybe the Holy Word for morning revival. Now you're there. Praise the Lord, you're there. Now you're having this time. And then I discovered that the biggest obstacle is the wandering mind. Undisciplined thought. Undisciplined thought. So the saints come to their time, come to the Lord, maybe pray a little bit. It's good to pray. Or, I found, it's good to sing. It's good to sing. And I'm going to talk about singing, but I'll save that for a little bit. We're going to sing a little more. But the saints pray. Say, oh Lord, give this time to you. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood, or however it is. Lord, I need you. Amen. Okay, now you open. And open a verse. Actually, on this, we have several verses. So here's a verse. As the heart, Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the heart pants after the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and appear before God? This is a wonderful verse. And I would say somewhat easy to pray read, too. Sometimes the verses we get in the Holy Word are not as easy to pray read. But this is very easy. Okay, so we start. Amen. As the heart pants after the streams of water. Amen. And has this ever happened? Oh, as the heart... I forgot to call Brother Ron. Oh, I wonder if he's going to be upset with me. He asked me, make sure you call me back today. Oh, what time is it? Oh, should I call him now? Maybe I'll text him. Oh, maybe. maybe I'll leave it for later. And then, oh, amen, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, as streams of water, amen. As my heart pants, as the heart pants after the stream of water. Wait, do I have an appointment, dental appointment? Is that today? What's today? Is today Tuesday or Wednesday? No, it's today. Oh, then you start thinking, should I drive or should I take the metro? Tuesday, it's hard to find parking there. Yeah, I'll take the metro. I'll take the metro. Oh, amen. So my soul pants for you, oh God. Be honest. Did this never happen to you? This happened to you? I want to see hands. If you experienced this, okay. No, you don't know. At the beginning, I thought only I experienced this. It was a great release to me to know, oh, we're all the same. I'm not as bad. Really, it was quite an encouragement. Quite an encouragement. So we started to what do we do? What do we do about this? How can we overcome this? Because it could be, suppose you decided, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with the Lord. Okay, 10 minutes with the Lord. Okay, but it could be 7 of the 10 minutes is. Yeah. And you only had 3 minutes in the Spirit. 3 quality minutes. Because as soon as one thought takes you, you come back, another thought takes you. And sometimes without realizing, 5 minutes passes by. 5 minutes. So I realize we have to learn how to what? Set our mind on the Spirit. But you do that, and as soon as you set it, it becomes unset. So I realize you have to learn how to keep your mind set on the Spirit. That's Romans 8:6. For the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. There's another verse that I think could be a help. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5, but especially verse 5. But from verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, maybe we should for your to emphasize, we should turn to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, start with verse 3. Let's read 3 through 5. Okay? When you have it, go.
But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful before God for the overthrowing of strongholds. As we overthrow reasonings and every high thing rising up against the knowledge of God, and take captive.
Verse 5 has this phrase, take captive. Take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So I realize we need to exercise to take captive. Don't let the enemy just play with us, firing the darts of thoughts. But we take captive the thought. Sometimes, saints, I would even verbalize. And when my mind goes, I would even say, stop. Even out loud, stop. No. Not today. You won yesterday. Not today. I don't repent. I just return. And then keep going. Don't feel bad. Oh, Lord, I get so distracted. Don't waste that time. And you shouldn't repent because actually that was not your thought. That was Satan's thought. Another verse, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. And this word schemes can be translated as plans, this is in the footnote, plans, plots, devices, designs, wiles, intentions, purposes. The root of this word is the same as the root of the word thought or mind. You could translate this, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his thoughts. His thoughts. The thing is, he's so close to us in our flesh that he can inject his thoughts into our mind. And when we think his thoughts, that's when we go. But you don't have to accept that. You can say, no, stop. And the thoughts that I illustrated, these are not evil thoughts. These are not evil thoughts. They're just thoughts. Why, as I'm here trying to contact the Lord, I suddenly think of Ron McVicker. I say, Ron, what are you doing here? Get out of my morning time. You shouldn't be in my morning time. I shouldn't be in yours. It should just be the Lord and me. Sometimes, you know who appears there in my morning time? My grandson. I have a 3.5-month-old grandson. I'm going to see him tomorrow night. But that thought, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, I love you. Just the thought. He's been actually in the hospital. I've never seen him at home. I've seen him twice, but he had some extended stay in the hospital for 3 months. So I visited him in the hospital. I've never held him at home, but he came home. So tomorrow night, I want to hold him at home, you know, and just kind of, you know. So I thought, oh, Satan's thought. Can you imagine? A thought about my grandson? How tricky is the enemy? He would use anything to just take you away. You know what I have to say? Not now. I can think that later. 20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes. Aiden, I'll be right there. His name's Aiden. 20 minutes. I'll be back to about Aiden. Not now. Now, Lord Jesus, I love you. So Aiden, go away. Ron, go away. Stay away. Everybody stay away. But doesn't your job, don't your children, doesn't the dentist end up in your morning time? You have to say, stop. No, no, no. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Don't repent. Just return and continue. And then follow the inner anointing. Follow the inner anointing. Now, I have found from my experience that one very good way to calm the mind down is simply to call the Lord's name. Just to call. Oh, Lord Jesus. And not in a, I don't know what to say. Not in a meeting way. Not in any way, except from my heart. Oh, Lord. Call in your way. In your way. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord, I love you. I need you. I want you. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. Sometimes I say, Lord, I am here. Take advantage of the fact that I'm here. I would really recommend take advantage of this time. because you know how I am. Because when I finish here, right away I could forget you. So there's no guarantee. No promises here, Lord. Just me here and you. So Lord, please infuse me, dispense yourself into me, and make this time count. But I've also found this, to be honest with you, and I don't know if you've had this experience. You're calling, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. The louder you call, the louder your mind. Have you experienced that? You call, but the mind doesn't stop. I'll just be honest with you. And it seems you call stronger, the thought gets stronger. So you know what I do? Abort. Stop calling. And either take out the word, pray, read, or sing a hymn. And I have found, actually, that singing the hymns helps very much. And it's almost as singing helps us exercise our spirit with the least amount of effort. Sometimes, don't you wake up with a hymn in your heart? I think all of us at one time or another wake up with a hymn in our heart, especially if you're listening to CDs or hymns. Are people still listen to CDs? This generation doesn't listen to this. They just listen to MP3s and they download. But if suppose you're driving and you just have it in the car, even in a sense you're not listening, but something's being infused into you, that's very good. When you're cooking, it's just on. Hymns radio. My wife likes to do that. She just puts Hymns radio on while she's cooking. Hymns radio. And you know, one of those songs gets into you. Or, like what I experienced last week, you go to a conference last weekend, and the young people, they like to sing, you know, one song over and over. Even at the conference, you get tired of the song, but you go home, and you can't help it. And you wake up the next morning, and that's the hymn. That's just, oh, the song I don't like. But it's in your heart. If you take that as the Lord's calling card, answer his call. Maybe when you go and sit there, that's the hymn you open. The Lord has something for you there. So I found some of the hymns so good to bring my focus to the Spirit. And especially the hymns that are in the first person. Like the two hymns that we sang, right? 255, which I believe is 210 in the Chinese, and 812, which I believe is 588 in the Chinese. These two hymns. I come to thee, dear Lord. My heart does thirst for thee. But you know what, saints? I encourage you. As you sing, as soon as you have some anointing, as soon as you have some anointing on any line, convert that feeling to words. Convert it to prayer. Now, don't take this legally. You like to sing the whole thing? You sing the whole thing. Don't be bound by anything being spoken here. But I also would like to expand your consideration. Be flexible. Maybe you sing, just to behold thy face. For this, my Lord, my heart just cries to you. I really want to behold your face. Lord, honestly, I don't remember when was the last time I beheld your face. I open the word. I go to the meeting. But Lord, I know what it's like to behold your face. Lord, I want you to gaze on me. I want to just behold your face. Your face means everything. You have a feeling. You just pray. Oh, that could lead you. Oh, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's what I want. A verse comes. What verse? This verse. The next one. Psalm 27:4. Maybe you feel, oh, you just remembered this phrase, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's not in the book, the morning revival book for that day. But the Spirit just led you. Something reminded you of this verse. You weren't thinking of this verse. You haven't seen this verse in 6 months. But just at that point, just to behold, Lord, I want to behold you. I want to behold the beauty of Jehovah. Then you open this verse. One thing. Yes, Lord, one thing. One thing. I'm asking you for one thing. I only want one. Lord, in this life, I don't care about anything else. I don't care for being known. I don't care for position. I don't care for money. I don't care for my future. I just want one thing. I want one thing. I'm asking you. I want to dwell in your house all my days to behold your beauty. Lord, I want to behold you. This verse, it could take you 10 minutes to pray over this verse with that song. Maybe as you're praying, you go back to the song, Thy glorious radiance. You know, there's another verse about the face. Radiant face, my heart delights to see. So you sing, you pray. It could be. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it could be. After 20 minutes, you still never got to the assigned verses of the day. It's time to go. You just go. Be flexible to follow the Lord's leading for that day. That would be a very nourishing, nourishing time. Actually, it's very possible in such a fellowship, right? In such a fellowship, the Lord could shine on us. The Lord could shine. Maybe I'm praying, Lord, I just want to behold your face. I want to behold your face. Maybe the Lord would shine. But you've been beholding the computer screen very much. You want my face? Do you really want my face? Then why are you beholding the screen? Till late at night? Then you think, oh Lord, yes. I've been wasting time. Doing this, doing that. Lord, forgive me. When your wife tells you, you're on that too much, you say, leave me alone. I need my relaxation. But when the Lord says, I think you behold the screen, you have nothing to say. You know, sometimes when people tell us, we get offended. When the Lord shines, we get healed. And we get liberated. Liberated. Saints, I lament to see sisters and brothers among us for 5 years, no change. For 10 years, no advancement. We have the divine life. If we allow the Lord even a little way in us, he grows in us. And we change. We change without trying to change, little by little. But some serving so much, yet just as opinionated as they were 10 years ago, even 20 years ago. I believe there's a lack in this kind of fellowship with the Lord. Now I'm speaking to the saints who are serving, who want to serve. You have a heart to serve the Lord. Actually, this is the basis of our service. To allow the Lord the full freedom in our heart. If we just give the Lord a little ground, a little room, he will shine. Yes, he will expose. But that exposing will actually be our healing and be our freedom from so many things. from so many things. Also, saints, I found that one reason why our times with the Lord may seem not to be having that much effect is that, and I come back to this point here, breathing, we have not learned how to exhale all the things that are within us. If you look at this hymn, 255, I think this is this hymn is a tremendous help. I cannot quantify how much help the Lord has given me through the singing and the praying over this hymn. This hymn gives us so many categories of things to exhale. How about we sing? Let's sing, let's start with verse 1. Maybe just verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and verse 2. 255. In Chinese, 210. Spanish, 119. Oh Lord, breathe thy spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe the inhale. Pour into thy bosom all my life of self and sin. Breathing out my sorrow.
Breathing
out
my
sin. I am breathing,
breathing, breathing.
Verse 2.
I am breathing.
Breathing out my own life, that I may be filled with thine. Letting go my strength and weakness. Not just your weakness, but letting go my strength and weakness. I tell you, saints, this hymn, already a number of times, the Lord has led me to this hymn, and I start to sing. I cannot get past verse 2. So I pray some things. And it seems like that takes 15 minutes. And this leads to certain verses. I could easily see when you're saying, praying this, letting go my strength. Oh Lord, I let my strength go. I let my strength go. I don't want to think that I can do this. I carry this burden. Lord, you carry this burden. And then a verse will come. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I just stay there and pray. Oh, Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of Jehovah. Lord, your joy is my strength. Lord, be my joy. Be my joy as I'm serving. I don't want to serve you just because I'm burdened. I don't want to serve you just because I'm faithful. I want to serve you and be joyful. Oh, be my joy. Lord, when you're my joy, I have strength. You're my strength, Lord. Oh, the time, 30 minutes pass. Then I go. The next day, I have the feeling, come back to this hymn. So I either start there or go to verse 3. Sometimes 4 days, just this hymn is a kind of supply. Other hymns are like this too. But look at this. Look at verse 3. Breathing out my sinful nature. Breathing in thy cleansing fullness. 4, breathing out my sorrow. on thy kind and gentle breast. Oh, I don't know how many times this line. Lord, on your kind and gentle breast, I breathe out my sorrow. We have to admit, brothers and sisters, we all have disappointments. We all have disappointments. We all face disappointments, whether in the church life, in our professional life, in our family life. We all face sorrow. Will that delay you? Will that detain you? Or do you know how to breathe it out before the Lord? Breathing in thy joy and comfort. Breathing in thy peace and rest. If you don't know how to do this, oh, you probably cannot persevere in the Lord's recovery. Even in the Lord's recovery, we have disappointments. When I first came to the church, this was in Los Angeles. I was a boy, 14 years old. I was there for a month. And I wrote to my friends, I found it. This is what I wrote. I found heaven. Hallelujah. It's in Los Angeles. That's what I wrote to my friends and my cousins. I found heaven. And I told them that, you know, where the meeting hall was in Los Angeles, meeting hall number one, which was on Eldon Street, so it was Eldon Avenue. We call it Eldon Hall. And in that five square blocks are surrounding the meeting hall, 300 brothers and sisters lived in apartments and homes. Can you imagine that? 300 brothers and sisters. And I went to visit my sister. She lived three blocks away, two blocks up the avenue and then around the corner. And so at the corner, like two blocks away from the hall, at this corner was a supermarket. Very often, in that month, my mother or my sister would send me to the store to get bread or milk or something. I don't remember there was one time that I walked to the market or back and I didn't run into saints. And I'd be walking and I'd hear from a distance, "Praise the Lord, Brother Ricky." And of course, I didn't know anybody. I was brand new. I was a week in the church life. So I'm like, "Amen." I didn't even know how to do it right. So, "Amen, amen." I just knew you're supposed to say amen. Amen. But all the time, "Hey, Brother Ricky, praise the Lord." There and back. And then when you're going to the meeting, whether it was Tuesday night prayer meeting or Friday night fellowship meeting, or walking to the meeting on the Lord's Day, if you go early enough, you could hear from the windows, calling, praising, singing. So I wrote my friends. I said, "Could heaven be better than this? At least a match." Then I came into the church life. It took me about a year to really, really come in full force. And one of the first Lord's Table meetings that I went to, we used to have the Lord's Table meeting on Lord's Day late afternoon, about 5 o'clock or 5:30. And so we'd run into the evening. So after the Lord, so we have the ministry in the morning, Lord's Table in the afternoon, followed by 1 hour of overflow fellowship from the saints, from anything or everything from the week. And after the Lord's Table, wonderful Lord's Table, two people got up behind me to tell us why they could no longer meet with the church and that the church was off and a problem. And so I'm thinking, I didn't want to turn around, but I'm thinking, who are you and who would want to leave heaven? Because I thought, there can't be problems in this place. I was 15. There can't be problems. Oh, I had a rude awakening. A rude awakening. Problems in the church. It's easy to have the feeling. Problems in the church? Is this really the church? Could there be problems? Then a brother pointed out to me, you know, nearly every book of the New Testament was written with a backdrop of some problem. That's all he had to say. So, oh, okay, there's problems in the church. So that means what? I have to learn how to breathe them out. Don't let that stumble me. Breathe out the sorrow. Breathe out the misunderstanding. Breathe out the troubling. I tell you, if you don't know how to do that, you cannot be a good elder. You cannot be a good coworker. Because we face too many problems. If you know how to breathe it out, you can be happy. You can be the happiest member of the church, even in a church full of problems. I'm not saying the church is full of problems, but I'm saying even if it were, you can still be happy. The environment doesn't have to bring you down. The environment doesn't have to bring you down. You can know the peace and rest if you know how to breathe out before the Lord and just tell him everything. Tell him everything. 5, I'm breathing out my sickness. Thou hast borne its burden too. I'm breathing in thy healing, ever promised, ever new. 6, I'm breathing out my longings. Oh, saints, we have longings. Some unfulfilled longings. Some that we hope to be fulfilled. We need to breathe them out. And we need to breathe in his answers. Sometimes his answer is no. Breathe it in. No. Amen. Amen. No. But you breathe it out and you breathe in his answer. And when it's his answer, there's a supply to say amen. How about let's sing verse 7. I am breathing every moment, drawing all my life from thee. Breath by breath I live upon thee. Lord, thy spirit breathe in me. I'd like to recommend another hymn to you, number 719. 719. I'm sorry, but we do not have this in the other languages, neither English, Korean, or Spanish. Maybe in Korean now we have it. Are you familiar with this? Let's play verse 1. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Christ Jesus, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Such a hymn with this kind of tender feeling also could be very good to foster our fellowship with the Lord. This chorus, stayed upon Christ Jesus. We don't usually use this word, stayed, in this way. Stayed upon Christ Jesus, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. These two phrases, stayed and perfect peace, these two phrases are from Isaiah 26, verse 3, which says in the King James, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That just means set. The recovery version, the up-to-date recovery version says, you will keep the steadfast of mind in perfect peace. Yeah. This is referring to the same thing, that when your mind is set on Christ, you're in perfect peace. And something very interesting, just as an aside, this phrase, perfect peace, in the Hebrew, I don't know if any of you have this version of the recovery version, which is the version that has the full text, whole Bible, but not the footnotes. Okay. But this text also has notes, sometimes has a few grammatical notes. And this verse, perfect peace, do you know what the note says? That literally in Hebrew, perfect peace, the word perfect is not in the original text. It says, you will keep him in peace, comma, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You will keep him in peace, peace, double peace, multiplied peace, peace, peace. What I really want to show you is verse 2. We won't sing it, but listen to these words. And incidentally, this was written by Sister Frances Havergal. We have quite a number of hymns by her in our hymn book. Listen to this. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. What is this talking about? What's the difference between a foe and a traitor? See, a foe is an enemy, but usually an enemy from outside. A traitor is a hidden enemy that was inside. Let me ask you, has not your mind betrayed you? Have not your emotions become a traitor? As you're coming to the Lord, actually, sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't even want to come to the Lord. Why? Because your emotion is, not today. Your inward parts betrayed you. But here it's saying, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry. Have you ever gotten a surge of worry in the middle of your time with the Lord? Oh, Lord Jesus, like, oh, no, I'm supposed to be. It's like a surge. Just like when you have we have surge protectors, right, for our computers. Because if there's a surge, it blows everything. We need surge protectors in our fellowship with the Lord. Not a shade of care. Have you ever experienced a shade of care? Oh, I can tell you, with my little grandson, for the past 3 months, he's doing much better now. Don't worry. A shade of care. I'm praying, but it's almost like a cloud comes over you. Not quickly. Just a covering. Does that happen to you? You're praying, but you can't help but You just, like your inner being just droops. And you don't exactly realize, when did you stop praying? And when did you start worrying? When did it happen? I didn't catch it. But I just know that right now, everything looks gloomy. Sister Frances must have experienced this, to put it in such a poetic way. And then what? Not a blast of hurry. Did your morning revival never end with a blast of hurry? Like, oh, Lord Jesus, 8:15. Get to work, go to class, something. Even we don't say, sorry, Lord, I gotta go. You know, if I'm talking to Mayor, suppose I'm talking to Mayor. So Mayor, you got married, huh? I didn't know that. That's great. Congratulations. So tell me about her. Now, gotta go. If it were a person, I would say, oh, I'm sorry. Listen, can we pick this up later? I forgot. I got this thing. But with the Lord, we just... How about we consider there's a person there? And we say, Lord Jesus, I have to go. Lord, let's go. Because you don't have to say goodbye to the Lord. You say, Lord, sorry, we have to have morning revival on the road. Morning revival to go. Would you come with me, Lord? Continue the fellowship. But somehow, Sister Frances put all these things into one verse in a very poetic way. She must have had this kind of experience to be able to put this in this way. Okay, two other things I like to fellowship. Now we come to the outline. I think you're clear. I'm not going to cover the outline. But I want to cover point C. Let's read this together, point C. When we come before God. When? Amen. Let's read the verse. Psalm 27:4. One thing. Amen. Sisters, number one. Brothers, two.
We need to look at him again and again, beholding, appreciating, and even treasuring him. This is very sweet and necessary. This is to absorb God and enjoy him.
Amen. Let's also read D, since this is on inquiring. Both of these points are from Psalm 27:4, beholding and inquiring. Let's read the point D together. When we open our mouth,
we do not need to ask or beg, but we can inquire. The best prayer is an inquiring prayer, and this is the sweetest prayer.
Sisters?
Many brothers and sisters have never inquired of the Lord. They only ask and beg. They frequently implore God when we pray. In reality, we are the Lord in this matter.
Amen. Brothers? Sisters.
Those who have never heard Jesus' lesson of inquiring are
Amen. Brothers. Amen. This verse, Psalm 27:4, has these two principles or two points: beholding and inquiring. You might say that all our fellowship with the Lord, in essence, should have these two principles: beholding and inquiring. But the first point is the first point. The first thing we should do is behold. And if we never get to inquiring, actually it's okay. The first point is to behold the beauty of the Lord. That is to enter into a sweet fellowship with Him, adore Him, enjoy Him, focus on Him, absorb Him, breathe Him in. Of course, to do that, we have to breathe out, to breathe in more. That should be our goal. Not to complete the praying of the portion for the day. That's not our goal. Does anyone actually have the book, Holy Word for Morning Revival? Do you have a copy with you? Maybe. I know some are looking. Oh, there's one right there. Thank you. If I may, thank you. Just as an example, I want to show you. This is Leviticus. Yeah. So here, I just did random. Week 4, day 3. There are two verses here. Wouldn't you know it? Romans 8:6. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. That's right here. I didn't make it up. Look. Right there. And verse 13. Okay. I come to the Lord. I sing. Maybe I call. Probably call, then sing. Maybe sing, pray. Now I come to the Word. Always the centerpiece, more often than not, should be the Scripture. We should be in the Word. I gave you an illustration before of spending a long time with song, with a hymn. But I also mentioned the hymn may lead you to a verse. Always good to have the Word. Okay, so here we have two verses. Okay. The goal of my time with the Lord is not to complete the prayer reading of these two verses. My goal is to behold the beauty of Jehovah. My goal is not to finish the ministry reading. My goal is to behold the beauty of Jehovah. And incidentally, here, as a help, the brothers prepared this. You know, this is under Brother Lee's instruction to prepare a help for our morning time. This is a help for our morning time. And actually, these books were first produced. This idea first came in the 1980s when Brother Lee was leading us to restudy the God-ordained way to meet and to serve, which we call the God-ordained way, and which we talk about these steps of, we have this acronym, BNPB, which is begetting, preaching the gospel, nourishing, which is building up the new ones, which is perfecting, supposed to be in the group meetings, and then be building by prophesying in the church meeting. So for that, he instructed the brothers, prepare something for the saints. Why? Because actually our prophesying meeting on the Lord's Day begins on Monday morning with our personal time with the Lord. However, it is not the intention that in the morning you pray, read the verses, and then you read everything. Oh, I did my morning revival. You know, there are two sections here. This is called morning nourishment. There's verses and some ministry. If anything, it's okay to read the gray, the shaded portion. But if there's not time, it says today's reading, that's for later in the day. That's for your coffee break, lunchtime. Of course, again, there's nothing here as a kind of rule. You like to read it? You read it. But I'm saying, don't be bound by the concept. Oh, I have to read this. And, oh, I'm prayer reading, but I only have 5 minutes left. I better do the reading. Oh, don't do that. If the prayer reading takes the whole time, so be it. Don't lead your time with the Lord. Let the Lord lead his time with you. And how does he lead? By the anointing. We should never cut the prayer because, oh, I don't have time. I better start the reading. Don't do that. Do the reading later. Because in the prayer reading, the Lord has the opportunity to shine on you, to speak to you, to supply you, to comfort you, like no other opportunity in the day. That personal prayer through the word is the Lord's opportunity to operate on us. So I hope you would understand and not misunderstand what I'm saying. This is meant to be a help for our time with the Lord. And it can be, and it is. It really is. But I also would encourage you, avoid something. Because I've fallen into this trap. I don't know if this ever happened to you. I'm prayer reading. Because I know the topic, because I study the outline. And we encourage saints, study the outline. Not in your morning revival. Put some time aside during the week to read the outline, study the outline. Then when I know the outline, I know this is day 3, and I know what part of the outline this corresponds to. And so I'm prayer reading. When I'm prayer reading, I remember something from the message. Or I get some light, and I see, and I start to think, this might be good to share on the Lord's Day. So I start composing in my mind my prophecy. It's Wednesday morning, and I'm starting to compose my prophecy for the Lord's Day. I have to tell myself, stop. Even that, I say, no. Later. I'll do that in about 20 minutes. Lord, I come back to you. And then you just enjoy. Just enjoy. Because the goal is what? To behold the beauty of Jehovah. Amen. To behold him. Amen. Just enjoy him. Absorb him. Breathe him. Now, we have this other point, and to inquire. And to inquire. What does this mean? This means once we're in the Lord's presence, then we ask, Lord, shall I pray now? Shall I pray for the young people now? Shall I pray for my children now? Shall I pray for the church now? Lord, what shall I pray? How shall I pray? Saints, when we want to pray for the Lord's interest, even in this, we should not be presumptuous. And we just come and pray. We should have the sense of inquiring, Lord, how shall I pray? Maybe as after you have your time with the Lord and it's sufficient, actually sometimes not sufficient. Sometimes you say, Lord, shall I pray now? And you have the sense, no. Just keep enjoying me. Amen, Lord, amen. I just enjoy you. Just enjoy you. And you enjoy for another 7 or 8 minutes. Now, maybe a name comes to mind. A young one comes to mind. Lord, shall I pray for this brother? And you have a sense, now's the time. Lord, shall I go see him this week? Should I go visit him? You have a good feeling. Amen, Lord. But inquire, Lord, when should I go? And Lord, should I go to his home? Should I pick him up at school? Should I invite him over? Should I invite him out? What should I do, Lord? And then, Lord, what shall we talk about? Shall I talk about school? Shall I talk about his family? Shall I talk about his video game? Lord, how shall I talk about? Do you see the attitude? In everything, just depend. And as you're praying, you don't take your eyes off of the Lord. It's beholding and inquiring. Saints, that's the way to serve. That's the way to serve. That's the way to shepherd. That's the way to reach people. Because the Lord knows what's in their heart, and the Lord knows what they need, and the Lord knows when they need it. So if in this kind of exercise we can have a stronger sense of the anointing, then we'll know how to follow the anointing in our service. And that's one of the benefits of having such personal time with the Lord. We learn how to follow the anointing. Then, saints, we would never commit the iniquity of the sanctuary. Do you know what that is? That means we don't serve in a presumptuous way. The Lord would guide us in all of our service for him. You know, sometimes I like to use this illustration. David, you know, King David. As a boy, he slew Goliath. You all know this story, right? This very famous story. We teach this to our kids. David with the sling. And what a dramatic story. He came with provisions for his brothers. He sees the Philistine blaspheming. He gets upset. He talks. And then they tell Saul, they recommend, and they want to put the armor on him. And then he hadn't tried it, so it's not. He said, no, I don't need that because I have my experiences of the lion and the bear. That's like his resume. I slayed the lion and the bear. And then king says, okay, you go. And then he goes, and what does he do? He gets what? How many? What kind of stones? Smooth stones. Five smooth stones from the stream. And then he goes and faces Goliath. And then he... You know, we have a song, right? Do you know a song? And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. I don't think he sang. He didn't sing when he was doing it, probably. But he... And then he... Whoa! And then, you know, the stone... here, and then it sunk into his skull. It's actually quite a terrifying story if you really think about it. But it sank into his skull, and then he, boom. That was great. That's a great children's story, right? Great children's story. Okay, but this is my point. If I throw a stone at your head, I could hurt you, but I cannot make it sink into your skull. I can't do that. No stone that you throw, I don't care who you are, the stone is not going to sink into your skull. That was God. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. But the aim, I don't think, was a miracle. The aim was David's. You understand what I'm saying? David made that stone hit the bullseye. I don't think David threw it and it was going this way and God, oh, no, come over here. I don't believe that. I believe David, and it went right to his forehead. And as soon as it got here, God went like that. It's kind of an alley, you know, in basketball, the alley-oop. Yeah, David was God. Boom. They work together. I believe that. But what's my point? My point is, how did David learn the aim? Out in the field. Oh, missed. Oh, got it. Oh, got it again. And practice, and practice, and practice, and practice in his job, in his daily life. Now you're facing Goliath. Now it's not a matter of a sheep. Now it's a matter of God's economy on the earth. This is a big thing now. You better not miss. Even so, better not miss. He had five. Because he was, you know, you see, he wasn't confident, self-confident. He had five. He didn't just get one stone. You send me, I might get one. And I picked the wrong one. He picked certain stones because he had what? Experience. Okay. Every day we spend time with the Lord. And we're learning to follow the anointing. At certain times in our lives, it really matters whether you know the anointing or not. Like when you're going to marry someone. You better get that one right. It better be the Lord's anointing and blessing. Like you're going to move somewhere. Like you're going to take a job or not. Those things, they affect you for periods of time. You get locked in. Better know the Lord's anointing. Like whether you should migrate to Germany or not. That's for God's economy. That's a big thing. But where do you learn every morning? Oh, Lord Jesus, should I sing? Should I pray? Should I read? That's the Lord's training. Take advantage of that. And that's how we learn. Should I call this one? Should I visit them? Visit the dormant saints? Lord, I'm going to visit so-and-so. He hasn't been to the meeting more than a year. But I love him. I just feel I need to go see him. You have the feeling, go. Lord, should I go alone? Or should I ask a brother to go? Should my wife and I go? Should my son and I go? And you go. Lord, should I initiate a conversation? What should I talk about? Lord, guide me step by step. In this way, the Lord can shepherd people through you. You learn little by little. You know, in the Thanksgiving conference that we had, I don't know if you saw those messages or not, we mentioned some of these things, not in as much depth. But in that outline, this is message number five of the Thanksgiving conference. We quoted there that Brother Lee says, we should do these things with sweetness and depth. This is really the burden. We know that many saints practice personal fellowship with the Lord. But we have to admit, not everyone does it with sweetness and depth. And I hope and pray that this little fellowship could help at least some of you to practice this with a little more sweetness and a little more depth. Amen. How about we have some prayers? Is it okay with one or two around us? Is that okay? Yeah, two or three. We have a little prayer for a minute or so. And then you have, I think, plenty of time for responding. Yes? Amen.